hope as you came here tonight that you didn't have any trouble figuring out where to go. I know that some of you are a part of our church and you're here every week and you know how to find this place. Some of you might be visiting and you had to figure out where to park, and that's always a challenge around these parts, and you had to figure out your way into the building and things like that. I really worry about the people who come to the service that we had earlier tonight over in a room we call the loft, because they come to the top of the stairs and they're like, okay, where do I go? And then the next thing they know, they're in a choir room, and it's just like, what is going on? It's like a psychedelic experience just trying to get to a worship service. Getting to places that might not be familiar to us can be a little bit of a challenge, and it's always interesting, especially on Christmas Eve, because those of you who are here on a regular basis, you sit in the same place every week, but you might have walked in tonight and you had to figure out your way to somewhere else because someone might have gotten that seat already, and that's okay. That's okay. We can relax a little bit. Whenever we're in a new place, we can struggle a little bit trying to figure out exactly where we're supposed to go. And for people who've been around our church for a while, you might know by now that I've had a few experiences getting lost. There have been a few vehicles and water vessels that have broken down along the way. It's just part of the challenge of traveling with Anthony. And I remember one of the experiences that we had, well, it was actually on foot, but my wife Emma and I were in Venice, Italy. Anybody ever been to Venice? Venice is a fun place. I did not know this at the time, but there's actually like a bingo card for things to do in Italy. And one of the things on the bingo card is get lost in Venice. We didn't know that until after the fact, but we sure found it out while we were there. We showed up in Venice and we're trying to figure out our way, and there's no rhyme or reason to the way the roads are laid out. And some of the roads aren't even roads, they're water. And I mean, it's really confusing trying to figure out where you're supposed to go. And we were trying to figure it out. We're trying to look at the map and we're, just kind of like holding it sideways and, trying to figure out, okay, is this? And trying to figure out all of our landmarks and everything. And then there was this lady who offered to help us. And we started following her around. And she's like going in storefronts and then going out back alleys and all these different things. And at one point, I just turned to Emma and I said, I really don't mean to be insensitive, but is she blind? Like, I mean, I really couldn't tell exactly where it was that she was trying to lead us. And next thing we know, we kind of said, thank you for the help. We'll figure it out from here. And we ended up looking at the map and realizing we were even more lost than when we had started following her. We had gotten even more off track. And sometimes life goes like that. Sometimes we look up and we're even further away than we thought we were going to be, and we find ourselves a little disoriented trying to figure out where it is that we're supposed to be. I moved here to Valdosta 5.5 years ago, and I have to say I do have, despite my stories, I do have a generally good sense of direction, and I figured out my way around town pretty quickly. But something happened a couple of years ago when we encountered a major hurricane that came through, and then a little later another hurricane, then a little later another hurricane, and the landscape changed. I'll be completely honest with you. A little over 2 years ago, when Hurricane Idalia came through, it wiped out the traffic light at the end of Berkeley Drive, which is right around the corner from my house. To this day, I still have no idea where Berkeley Drive is. Like, the light is gone, my landmark is gone. Every time I'm trying to take that turn, I have to kind of like think really hard and make sure I'm in the right place. It's amazing what can happen when your landmark is missing. And I remember right after Hurricane Helene, I went out running one night and I knew the path, I knew all the divots in the road, but I noticed something as I got that close to my house. As I got that close to my house, there was this tree that had stood there long before the house even existed, long before I was born, but it had been taken out by the hurricane and the landscape looked different. The landmark was gone. The reference point wasn't there. And as I looked at it, something hit me. What happens in our lives when our landmarks are no longer there? What happens when the anchors that we cling to aren't in the right place? What happens when we're trying to figure out our way, we're trying to get ourselves unlost, we're trying to reorient our lives, but we find ourselves in the midst of being confused because the things we have held on to be true aren't there? What we find ourselves doing is we're trying to find ourselves to something that looks familiar, something that would guide us and lead us to where we ought to be. I thought about this, and I thought about just the challenge of facing Christmas. We come together on Christmas, and all of us carry different experiences, different things that have happened throughout the past year. Maybe your life looks different than it did a year ago or a few years ago when you came to Christmas. Maybe there were anchors, there were landmarks that were a part of your life that helped guide you and navigate you to where you were supposed to be, and they're not in place anymore. And you're trying to figure out how to make sense of the world. Maybe it's been a loss. Maybe it's been a change of circumstances. Maybe it's just been just your own fear and anxiety. I mean, it's such a huge part of the Christmas story is people constantly being told, be not afraid. And the reason people have to be told over and over again to be not afraid is because we are just naturally afraid. Because anxiety and fear are real realities that we face in life. In fact, 1 in 5 American adults struggles with depression or anxiety of some sort. The average teenager has more anxiety in their system than the adults that were institutionalized back in the 1950s. There's so much fear and anxiety in the world. And in the midst of that, we find ourselves trying to figure out our direction in life, trying to figure out the way that we're supposed to go, trying to find our way home. And as I was running back to my house that night, something hit me that has stuck with me ever since. It was just before Christmas last year, and it's taken a while to fully settle in for me. Sometimes what we need are the things that are familiar, the things that are ordinary, not the things that are crazy and extraordinary, but just the simple things that guide us to where we ought to be. One of these days, I'm gonna write a book. I don't know when it's gonna be, so don't give me a timeline for it. Called The Lights That Guide Us Home, and it's going to be about those things. And they aren't going to be silver bullets. It's going to be simple things like community, family, prayer, reading the scriptures. I was talking to my therapist recently, and we were talking through some things I was anxious about. And he said, I'd love to tell you that there's all this research that's going to tell you these new things you could try, but let me tell you the things that are going to be important in your life and help you get to where you need to be. Community, family, prayer, breathing, those simple, ordinary things are what gets us to where we need to be. So the question for us this Christmas is, where are you trying to go? Where are you trying to be? I think for all of us, the place we want to be is at peace. The place we want to be is when we hear the words, be not afraid, we already are at a place of rest and already at a place of peace. And what settles us and what gets us there are those simple, ordinary things that keep drawing us back to where we need to be. Those anchors, those landmarks. Within the story of Christmas, which we just heard beautifully read for us, there are a lot of ordinary things. Sometimes we think of Christmas as a spectacle, okay? We've got to have the lights, we've got to have the show, we've got to have the production, we've got to have the best singers, we've got to have the best moments. It's got to be this dramatic experience that just blows everybody away. But the story of Christmas that we read in the scripture, it's actually pretty simple. It's pretty ordinary. Have you ever thought about the story of Christmas and Jesus being born in Bethlehem? We're told that Joseph and Mary were traveling. She ends up, it comes to be time for the child to be born. She gave birth, wrapped him in cloths, pretty standard thing to do. Placed him in a manger because there was no room in the guest room. Maybe that's a little bit different. But then we get the story of the shepherds. And I love this story. It's not the elite of the elites. It's not the social influencers of the day. These are not people with 1,000,000,000 followers on TikTok or Instagram. These are people who are working an ordinary, lowly profession, and they're working the night shift. We're told in verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. In other words, they just simply showed up to work. And as they showed up to work, in that ordinary moment, God did something extraordinary. Because they were faithful to be there in an ordinary moment, God showed up and did something absolutely extraordinary. We're told, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now, if I'm in this story, if I'm in this moment, and I'm one of those shepherds, I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Great news for all people. Why is this message coming to me? Why is this message coming in this ordinary night shift moment, something I do every night of my life, watching the sheep out in the middle of the field, just biding my time, just watching the grass grow? Why is this, excuse me, why is this message coming to me? I love you, you're my favorite wife, only wife. That came off real poorly. Regroup. Settle, find my anchor. Okay, so they're out there and they are in this ordinary moment and they are ordinary people and they are given this absolutely extraordinary message. And then we are told these words. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. You know, sometimes when I read the scriptures, I wonder to myself, what was the pacing of the conversation? This will be a sign to you, you'll find a baby and you'll wrap it in a manger. Or did it go more like this? This will be a sign to you. And then a pause. Because if there was a pause, and I'm one of those shepherds, I'm thinking to myself, there's a king. There's a majestic moment. There's a mighty army. I'm thinking, there's a huge production. There's a huge spectacle. There's something incredible taking place. There's something amazing going on. And then, instead, something very simple, humble, and ordinary. This will be a sign to you. Their minds were probably spinning. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Simple, ordinary scene for people who just showed up to do something simple and ordinary over and over and over again. We're told that the great company of heavenly hosts appeared with them and angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace, there's that word, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Then here's the interesting part. Next verse, right after what Olivia so beautifully read for us earlier. When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They simply responded and came to Jesus to see what the Lord had done. I think that's a little bit of what we do when we come together on Christmas Eve, don't you think? We come together and it's kind of an ordinary scene. I mean, a lot of people come to Christmas Eve services at churches. It's kind of an ordinary thing to do, but why are we here? We're here to find something. We're here to experience something. We're here longing for peace in the midst of our chaotic lives. We're here longing and waiting for a moment of stillness and peace in the midst of all of our anxiety. We're longing and waiting and hoping and believing that God can do something even in the midst of all of the chaos that we experience. And so what do? We come to see what this is all about, what the Lord has done. And it becomes a light, an anchor that leads us to where we ought to be. When I think about Christmas Eve, there are, you know, some key elements that I think about being a part of Christmas Eve. And it's one of my absolutely favorite experiences the whole year. I love Christmas Eve. I love Christmas music. I love all the pageantry of it and everything. And I remember several years ago, I was in my last year at a church that I had served for 8 years. We knew we were moving that next summer. We knew it was our last Christmas Eve at that church. And I want to tell you, we had the most incredible worship service in the history of the world planned.
Really, I don't think it could have been topped. I mean, it was that amazing. We had a group, there was a family of three siblings who sang together, and they had perfectly blended voices, beautiful harmonies. Every year they would sing a special. We had an amazing one picked out for that year. I was going to play guitar with them. It was going to be amazing. The worship team at the church, they knew it was my last year. I mean, we've got all this special music planned. We're bringing out new songs. We've got new arrangements of things. We've got everything planned. The message was planned. It was going to be absolutely incredible. We were so excited about how extraordinary that particular night was going to be. And then as we were getting ready for the service, there was a tornado that came through our community and the service got canceled. And everybody packed up and tried to get as quickly to a safe place as possible. And there was no service that night. Nobody heard how good my guitar was going to sound that night. Later that night, after the storm had passed, we gathered together at my house with some of my family and a few close friends. And as we gathered there, we instead sought some ordinary things. We ate together. We laughed together. We even took time to read the nativity story. We didn't have individual candles, but we, you know, lit some candles in the house. We sang, "O come all ye faithful." And one of my most treasured memories is playing my guitar with family and friends, singing loosely on key in the living room. And as we were singing, as my wife Emma was expecting our first child, we didn't have any kids yet, but one of my close friends, he and his wife were there with their one-year-old, and he's running around and dancing around with all of the joy that you would see in a one-year-old child, and he is just bouncing off the walls. He is keeping beat on every piece of furniture that he can find. And it was a sacred, beautiful moment. It didn't have the spectacle. It didn't have the extravagance. Instead, it was a simple, ordinary anchor. A simple moment of peace. Everyone left, and I go, you know what? I think I experienced everything that I was supposed to experience on Christmas Eve, except for Shelby Phelps didn't sing "O Holy Night." And that was a problem that had to be rectified. Didn't know her at the time, but somebody had to sing "O Holy Night." And so I sat there, not with a fancy speaker system, but just with my cell phone in my lap, and listen to Josh Groban sing it through that puny iPhone speaker. Simple, ordinary anchor, light to guide you to a place of peace. When I think about the Christmas story, when I think about Christmas Eve, all of us are longing for peace, all of us are longing for hope, and all of us are longing for a moment to settle us. We're waiting for a moment where everything will just sit still for a moment. And we can just soak in the presence of God and know that everything's going to be okay, even when there's chaos all around us. And the reality is that I've been in church ministry for over 20 years, and I've figured out the trick to Christmas Eve. I know why you are all here. In 20 minutes, we're going to sing Silent Night, and we're going to light candles. So that's the only reason you showed up tonight. Maybe not the only reason, but that's the moment that we long for. That's the moment that we wait for. That's the moment that we anticipate. And what is it about that moment? What is it about that that keeps us coming back to it? It is an ordinary thing to stand beside another person and sing a song and light a candle. But there's something sacred in that and familiar in that, that it becomes a light that guides us to where we ought to be. It becomes a light that guides us home. It becomes a place that leads us to walk in the peace of God. When I think about getting lost, I can't help but think about the craziness of GPS. GPS is a wonderful thing, but if your GPS gets off, you get that wonderful little spinning thing on the screen, and it says what? Recalculating, recalculating. I feel like in life, I spend about a third of my time recalculating, just spinning, recalculating, spinning, recalculating. You know what the amazing thing is? Jesus is always right where he's supposed to be. And if we put our eyes on Jesus, if we let Jesus be the light that guides us, that is what's going to lead us to peace in the midst of our chaotic lives. That's what's going to give us hope in the midst of our brokenness. That is what is going to give us joy in the midst of our sorrow. And that is what is going to enable us to demonstrate love to even those people that are hard and difficult to love. The light of Christmas, the light of Jesus, the light that we come to, the light that guides us home, is all about finding that peace and finding that hope. And it's not found in the most extravagant moments. It's found in the simple, ordinary step of what did those shepherds do? Let's go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Tonight, we come to the table of God to celebrate what the Lord has done. The Lord has sent us his Son, who came as a child on Christmas night, and having been born of the Virgin Mary, grew up, lived a faithful life, a faithful ministry, and then gave his life on the cross for our sake so that all might have eternal life. Simple, ordinary step, an anchor, coming to the table and receiving from the grace of God. And as we receive from the grace of God, we receive the restoration and the hope that we need to guide us to where we need to be.